bow before you, thanking you, O God, for the possibilities you have opened to us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We are meant to be a gifted people, and our giftings are meant to increase, O God, as the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, O God, is developed in each one of us. As the root of David is built into us, as we come alive to the greatness of your awesome love, Father. Truly, Lord, we will grow in an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Because it is through the heart of Jesus, O God, through his love explained into us. It is through, O God, his enabling power, O God, that we will function, O God, rightly and truly by the Holy Spirit, Lord. So we pray that you will teach us, O God, to function, O God, in the gifts the way you want us to function, Lord. That you will bring forth the unique gift mix within each one of us, training us, enabling us, empowering us, and energizing us, O God, to all that you have purposed in our lives, O God. We pray that we will truly utilize these gifts, O God, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will do all things in accordance, O God, with your great love for us, Lord. We want to bless you. We want to thank you for good things you are bringing forth in our lives. As we begin to understand, O God, how awesome, O God, are your purposes with each one of us. Teach us, O God, enable us, O God, to be faithful to you, Father. Faithful in everything that we do. Faithful in everything that we become, Father. Faithful, O God, so that, Lord, there will be one name that is glorified through the ministries that you are building in each one of us. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the nations will be drawn, O God, to the foot of the cross. So that the nations will be drawn into the mount of the Lord. So that the nations will come forth by the Spirit in Jesus' name into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that will enable them, O God, to walk before you and be holy and blameless before you, Father. We thank you for the privilege of serving you. We thank you for the privilege of learning how to serve you. We thank you for the privilege, O God, of being able, O God, to function, O God, in the anointings and giftings that you have given to us in the merits of the Lamb. To you, Father, we give all glory and honor, worship and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. To go over something that I think is an important verse to keep in our hearts. Verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, stewardship before God is a mystery. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. So stewardship of the mysteries of God is what the gift of tongues bring into us, all right, fundamentally. That is the root form of our stewardship before God. And that stewardship before God has got many dimensions to it. The stewardship of the mystery of God opens to us in the mystery of Christ. We have talked about that too. And the mystery of Christ opens to us in several different dimensions. The mysteries of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The mystery of faith. The mystery of godliness. The mystery of the Father's will, the mystery of the gospel. And so we find that tongues which dealing with the mysteries of God, the hidden things of God, the things that the human mind cannot comprehend in and of itself, the human mind cannot discover in and of itself. Tongues are a gifting that God gives us so that we can discover what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us very clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. For those who love him. Always remember the root of the prophetic, and the gifts are all part of the prophetic. The gifts are the practical application of the word of God, the practical application of the testimony of Jesus. And the root of the prophetic is always the root of David. If you're not loving God, something has gone wrong with your Christian life. And don't try and con your way through it. Loving God is an action word. And you really need to monitor all things in that reality of a growing love in your own heart for the sake of the purity of the ministry that God has given you. If you have stopped loving God and you are so busy with activities, then you probably have lost sight of the things God has called you to do. The root of David is so important because intimacy is the key to the entire scriptures, the key to everything God has purposed in our lives. You cannot serve a God whom you do not love. You won't serve him for very long, because you will then start developing all kinds of agendas and you will go off on tangents and you will do things for your own name and for your own glory. We all carry that sort of a nature. All right. So we've talked about all these things, and today I want to just talk about the fact that the vocal gifts, and tongues is the root of the vocal gifts, manifests in the interpretation of tongues, which means that there are knowledge forms that come into you, there are revelatory forms that come into you, there are learning forms that come into you, or teaching forms that come to you, and there's prophecy that will flow out of you. And these are all spontaneous realities, enabling you to be an oracle of the Lord. The oracle of the Lord. And becoming an oracle of the Lord is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, Moses writes, "The word of God is in your mouth and in your heart." And then God says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity." Words to that effect. So becoming the oracles of God, becoming functional vessels of the Lord, is part and parcel of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so you and I need to be able to use the witness that God is in the business of building within us, a witness that Jesus came to define for us, and a witness that the Holy Spirit is charged with developing in each one of us. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10 says that he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 and verse 8 in the King James or the New King James Bible says that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: Spirit, water, and blood. And that's the witness of the cross. And that's the witness you carry inside of you. So when you function in the gifts, you function in the witness of the cross. And the checks and balances on your operation of the gifts are blood, water, and spirit. Blood, water, and spirit. Water represents the voice of God. Spirit represents the Spirit of Christ, the anointings that will enable you to function in the name of Jesus. And blood represents covenant. Blood represents intimacy. Blood represents everything that enables you to stand in a covenant intimacy with him who is to be your husband, Jesus, your Lord. So you don't just operate gifts experientially. Gifts are entirely formed through the word. Because if you function entirely experientially, you wouldn't know whether you're coming or you're going. So you must always be built on the Word. You must be built on the Word. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are part and parcel of the Word of God. So when we talk about prophetic word or the gift of prophecy, what must flow out of you must be entirely in line with the Word of God. It cannot contradict the Word of God. It must edify, right? It must comfort. It must console, right? It must build, right? It must be something that is of substance, that will go towards building the Church of Jesus Christ. If you talk about the revelatory gifts, it has got everything to do with the Word of God. It has got everything to do with the Word of God. You're always functioning in line with the testimony of the Lord your God. What is it that God intends to do? So your gifts are always operated in the fact that God is working in mankind to save mankind, for instance, all right? So there is always this theme of salvation as you operate the gifts. You're not just simply operating the word of knowledge in a vacuum. You're not just simply operating the word of wisdom in a vacuum. You're not simply discerning spirits in a vacuum, right? It is tied to the fact that you are operating in such a way as to manifest salvation into somebody's life. That is the key theme towards everything. You're building somebody, you're opening somebody to something that God has purposed for that person. You're building someone who is ultimately going to be a son unto God in fully functional terms. So you must be very careful about what you release into people, and you've really got to be able to understand that what you release has to build the Church of Jesus Christ. It is very important to know that. You can't just simply operate because you feel like operating in something. What you see, you're responsible for making sure that what you see is of God. You're entirely responsible for what you hear, that it is of God. It is not something you have cooked up out of your own spirit, or you have cooked up out of your own inspiration. You have cooked out of your own desires. You have cooked out of your own ambitions, right? You have to ensure that because God will judge the use of his gifts. And once the flow of the witness within you becomes poisoned waters, brother, it takes a lot to clean it up. Because it will become habitual. It's like taking a packet of cigarettes, you know, and you start with the first cigarette, you cough and you smoke, and after you force yourself through it, it becomes a habit, isn't it? Then before you think, you've already got a cigarette in your mouth, right? The same thing, right? So in the same way, as you function in your giftings, if you start cultivating bad habits, if you start simply loosely using giftings that God has given you any way you please, right, you're going to build a disaster in the future. You're going to be someone who is going to cause a lot of damage in other people's lives. And you will be held accountable for that. So always remember that you operate the gifts in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God has got no problems with you making an honest mistake. But God has got serious problems with mistakes that are made deliberately. Mistakes that are made with hidden agendas. That are not mistakes, actually. They are deliberate intentions of a person's heart to mislead or to manipulate someone or to control someone or to make someone do what you want them to do. And that is basically witchcraft. That is the practice of sorcery. And everyone who practices witchcraft and sorcery, God will destroy. Because he's very strong. The language in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, for instance. You will not practice witchcraft and sorcery. You will not communicate with familiar spirits. God is very serious about that. He will destroy. Those kind of sins God will destroy. Those kind of sins God will destroy. And it's so easy to move into the occult, guys. Just as you can think a wrong thought at the speed of thought, you can also move into the wrong spirit at the speed of thought. So it's very important that you understand what you are doing in before God. That you understand that you are called to function in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And when you find the wrong kind of thought flows coming into you, take it to the Lord and address it. Don't hide it. It won't magically go away. When you see yourself speak, it tells you what's in your heart. And when you see yourself speak, it tells you what's in your heart. And when you see that what's in your heart is not right, address it to the Lord. And tell him to deal with it. Ask him to deal with it. Only God can handle the sin that is inside of us. We can't save ourselves, but it is your job to respond to God's saving grace. It is your job to respond to the gospel of salvation. And the gospel of salvation says that God is prepared to work with you and me to bring forth the changes needed in order for us to be pure and undefiled vessels of the Lord. God is more than able to do those things for us. It is foolish to try and do it in your own strength. So let's talk about the revelatory gifts. Out of the gift of tongues, will come the revelatory gifts. And the revelatory gifts can also be an interpretation of tongues as well. And the revelatory gifts operate in two realities, okay? The abiding and the spontaneous, all right? The abiding and the spontaneous. Where do you find that? You find that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. Chapter 28. The book of Isaiah. To whom would he teach knowledge and to whom would he interpret the message? Right, basic, right? To whom would he teach knowledge, to whom would he interpret the message? And the message form is the word of wisdom that comes out spontaneously, that gives you an insight into somebody's life, gives you an insight into somebody's situations, gives you an insight into somebody's problems, gives you an insight on the strongholds that are operating in a person's life. The discerning of spirits enables you to see the spiritual climate that is operating in a person's life. What is it that has that is controlling him? What is it that is a stronghold that is operating? What are the covenants with the powers of darkness that are operating in a human being's life? The discernment of spirits. It is not merely to see demons, all right? It is always to understand what those demons are doing in a person's life. Now, when you function in the discernment of spirits, you don't have communication with demons, for heaven's sake. Demons are by definition liars. You don't go to a liar to find out what is happening. Let me show you the verse, okay? So, Matthew chapter 8. Not Matthew, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, and he says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth." First thing you need to understand is that demons are murderers. They have the intent of killing you. If somebody has the intent of killing you, you don't have conversations and you don't have communication. So that's basic common sense. Right? Because there is no truth in him. If there is no truth in him, you can't expect him to give you anything in the truth. Even if he tells you a fact, the intent of giving you that fact is ultimately to deceive you. And you can give somebody facts with entirely the intent of deceiving that person. He can give you facts emphasizing the wrong facts or giving them in the wrong order and sending you on a wild goose chase, isn't it? Common sense, we do these things in the natural. How much more powerful will they be if they're manifested in the spiritual? Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, right? Before that, he says, because there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So someone who is governed by the father of lies is not going to tell you the truth. So when you have the discernment of spirits, you also need to have the word that comes with it to enable you to understand what's operating over a person's life. You always must understand, right, that you are functioning so as to destroy the works of the devil, right? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Let's turn to 1 John. 3:8. The second half of verse 8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So when you operate in the gift and you're functioning in the discernment of spirits, you are there solely to destroy the works of the devil. And you must understand this. And sometimes we really need to pray so that we get that understanding and we get that insight from the Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit. You don't take adventures into the spirit realm. You don't take a walk on the wild side into the spirit realm. You walk by the Holy Spirit. I don't see any other phrase given to you in the scriptures. If you look at the prophets, if you look at Isaiah, you look at Jeremiah, you look at Ezekiel, the major prophets, or you look at Habakkuk, you always find they functioned entirely by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was their focus, the Spirit of Yahweh, right? Yahweh himself was their focus. It was not the spirit realm. And you must understand this very, very clearly. Because there's a lot of writing that goes around in the Christian world that we must get into the spirit realm. What do you expect to find in the spirit realm? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. The spirit realm is a spirit, it's a realm full of rebellion against God. What do you want to find there? In the Spirit of God, there is always truth. In the Spirit of God, there is always righteousness. In the Spirit of God stands the kingdom of God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, you function in the kingdom of God. What business do you have walking in the spirit realm? And it's no surprise after that that you start seeing all kinds of funny visions after that. Because the enemy is a deceiver. He's by nature a deceiver. And once you have opened channels of communication in the spirit realm, anybody in the spirit realm can start talking with you because you've opened it out of your own free will. The curiosity will kill the cat. When God says, I am your strong tower, what business have you got walking into the spirit realm? If God wants to take you on a trip to hell, he will take you on a trip to hell. But let the Holy Spirit do it. There's nothing sacred about the spirit realm. When the Bible says you walk in the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit of God. By the Holy Spirit. God is omnipresent. When you walk by the Spirit, you walk in the omnipresence of the living God. What business do you have walking in the spirit realm, which is full of demons who have gone in rebellion against God? Or spirit beings that have nothing to do with God? Angels function in the spirit of God. Yes, they do go out and do battle in the spirit realm, but they're always sent by the spirit of God. They're always commanded by the spirit of God. They don't take a walk on the wild side. So we walk by the Holy Spirit at all times. We function in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, not by experience, but entirely by the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything that is prophetic has to flow in the testimony of Jesus. Everything in the prophetic has to be expressed in the spirit and life of Jesus. It has to be an expression of the faith and love of Jesus. It has to be an expression of the character and nature of Jesus. It has to be an expression of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to save the sick, save the lost, save the dying. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ came to give life. Jesus Christ came to give us a new tomorrow. So when you operate in the gifts, you must be sensitive to the ministry of Jesus Christ at all times. You're not just simply operating a gift. Nobody is going to be saved by you operating a gift or you being merely anointed. The anointing breaks the yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't break the yoke because it's an anointing. Otherwise, Lucifer should also be breaking yokes. But he's not breaking yokes, he's putting the yokes. Yeah? And he's functioning in the anointings that he received from God too. But he's functioning in them in a totally deceptive and destructive manner. He's a murderer by nature. He's a destroyer. Right? He's an accuser. Yeah? He's the God of this age and the God of this world who stands against the living God. Right? He's the prince of the power of the air. And his intent is to corrupt and to destroy. His intent is to deceive. So through tongues, you draw upon God. That's why tongues are at the root of it all. But tongues are meant to be operated by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that you are always continuously drawing from the wells of living water that we talked about. Right? The wells of living water that have been built out of the Word of God that God has revealed inside of you. And those wells of living water springing up to eternal life will flow out of you as rivers of living water. And in those rivers of living water, you will find the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits and all of those things manifesting as a natural flow of the Holy Spirit through you as a chosen vessel of the living God. And as you discern, as you learn, as you grow, as you learn how to function, right? It is always in the witness and testimony of Jesus. It is always in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He is the head, we are the body. What does that tell you? That the body functions in His ministry. The body functions as His chosen vessels. The body flows by the Holy Spirit in His precious name. It is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. If you want to be in true fulfillment of all those things that God has for you, it has to flow out of the testimony of Jesus. It has to flow out of the spirit and life of Jesus. So you need to make sure that when you function in your gifting, right, that you are functioning in the right flow. Are you with me? Last week we said that if you are functioning in the right flow, the key word to always keep in your heart is this key word called understanding. You remember that? Let's revisit those passages again. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 5. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water. Water represents rhema. But there is also a rhema that comes in falsehood. You also need to understand that. Huh? Hello? You mean to say the devil can't give you spontaneous words? Huh? He doesn't know how to speak. He doesn't know how to show you a vision. He doesn't know how to give you a dream. Sure he can. Just as he can project a thought into your head so easily, right? Have you ever noticed the times when you get funny thoughts in your head and they come out of nowhere and you wonder, why am I having this thought? Why am I suddenly angry? Yeah? Why am I suddenly feeling lustful? Have you ever had thoughts like that? Yeah, it just comes. Yeah? So, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. So you must always understand that God operates through you with the intent of enabling you to understand what He is doing. Right? Amen? All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. Right? And understands it. You need to understand the word of God. So even when you function in the spontaneous, you must be able not only to hear, you also need to understand what is happening. Right? You also need to understand what is happening. You also need to understand where this flow is coming from. Is it from the heart of the Father? Or is it coming from some other source? Hello. Just as when you think, are your thoughts of God? Are they of yourself? Or are they coming from some other source? Yeah, we need to know those things, right? You just can't say, I have this great thought and just go ahead with it. Right? So understanding, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. And that faith is the faith that has to come to us in the testimony of Jesus. It has to be of the right substance because faith is the substance of hope. So when you function in your gift, what is your hope? That's the key. Are you with me? That's your key, right? The root form of the key of David is to set your hope on Jesus Christ. He is your David. He is your David. The well-beloved. Right? You set your hope on him because he gave his life for you. Because he genuinely loves you. Because he is the high priest and apostle of your confession. Right? When you prophesy, or when you function in a word of knowledge, right, you are releasing something from your mouth. And you need Jesus Christ to be your apostle and high priest of your confession. You can't simply say, I'm functioning in a gift, and let go with your mouth whatever comes inside of you. And say, the Holy Spirit is speaking. If the Holy Spirit is speaking, he will always speak in accordance to the Father's will, and he will always speak in the name of Jesus. No, he doesn't simply speak in a vacuum. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, everything he speaks is consistent, right, with the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It's consistent with the testimony of Jesus. He doesn't speak anything contradictory to the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that substance, right, that root form, that root of David is the way in which you discern whether the waters flowing through you are poisoned waters or whether they are pure waters. You are responsible, guys, because it's flowing out of you. It is flowing into you and it's flowing out of you. That's why as you grow in the ministry, you have to watch your words, because everything in ministry involves words. If you enjoy gossip, obviously you can't very well minister to people because you will manifest the same thing. If you like criticizing people and finding fault with people, it will flow out of your ministry naturally. So when you see criticisms coming out of your mouth spontaneously, take it to the Lord and deal with it. Kill the snake. Yeah. Because whatever you do will flow according to your nature, isn't it? According to your character. When you function in your ministry, you will function according to who you are. So part of your growth is to deal with those things. I'm not saying you must be perfect. What I'm saying is you must be willing to deal with those things that are not right so that God can cover your mistakes. So that God can cover your character flaws. That's the atoning power of the blood. We are not perfect people. We have many things wrong with every one of us. Yet we are called to be vessels of the Lord. Yet we are called to be chosen vessels of the Lord. We are called to be anointed vessels of the Lord. We are called to be gifted vessels of the Lord. And it is right to expect to be such a vessel of the Lord. It is right to expect to be used by God. But to be used by God, you must allow God to be God. So understanding is so important. The substance must be of Jesus Christ. And then the evidence of that which flows out of you will always manifest in people being touched, people being saved, people being released, people being healed, people being nourished, people growing, people being blessed, people filled with joy, people filled with hope, people looking with eyes of faith towards God, people expecting God to do the wonderful things that he does with human lives. Yeah? That's how you test and see whether what you are speaking and saying is worth anything at all. It is not merely operating a gift and having a go at whatever comes into your mind. I saw this vision, therefore it's like this. What if you understood the vision the wrong way? Hello, brother. The vision may be a perfectly genuine vision from God. What if you, in your understanding, understood that vision upside down? What do you think you will manifest? So how do you know that you are interpreting a vision the right way? If there is a dependence on God, you will find that God will take you through it. And if you don't have an interpretation, it's all right if you don't say anything. Or you can say, I just describe the vision and leave it like that. This is what I saw. That's it. Stop there. Don't try and go beyond that. Just describe it. Somebody else will be able to continue because we function as a body. You are not the only one in town. Sometimes we think I have to do the, I must be the Alpha and the Omega. No, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. And he will be the Alpha and the Omega using 1 million vessels if it's necessary or 100 million vessels to do it. Right? And we just need to be faithful for what he has given us. If you have seen the vision and you're not getting an interpretation, it's okay. Just describe the vision and leave it. This is what I saw. I don't know what it means. Does anyone else have an understanding of that? Fine. If you don't have one, fine too. You can go back and pray on it and say, Lord, I need to grow so that I can get these things from you. Usually you will find that as you describe the vision, the interpretation will come as you describe the vision. See, if you're willing to walk into the vision with faith, expecting God to come forth, he will come forth. So take that time to describe the vision. And if the word comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it's all right. You don't have to be omniscient. Neither do you have to be omnipotent. If you don't know, you don't know. That's all right. Most things we don't know anyway. Right? So we understand by faith. And so what is faith? What is this understanding? Proverbs chapter 10, or rather Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In the end, it's an intimacy, guys. In the end, it's an intimacy. That intimacy with the Lord is your only guarantee. That's why I say it's the root of David. The root of David is the guarantee that you are using your gifts the right way. And as you use your gifts the right way, you will come to fall in love with Jesus Christ as you see him being unveiled through you. Yeah? And Jesus Christ is beautiful. You will come to admire him, you will come to know him, and you will come to fall in love with him. Don't try and work this out by works. It won't come out by works. God has got to draw you into it. It has to be a process that God develops in your being. So don't try and cook it up. Right? If you don't love Jesus, go and tell him so. I told him so. I don't love you. Every time I come to you, I'm trying to grab something from you. Can you make me love you? Right? And he did so. So be honest with him. Right? Be honest with him. If there's anyone you can talk to, it's him. Be yourself with him. Talk about your weaknesses. Talk about your character flaws. Take it to him and say, Lord, I have this problem. I can't help myself. And ask him to bring the solution into you, to work the solution into you. What did God write in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 27? I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. If God can cause you to walk in his statutes, all things are possible, guys. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It won't happen instantaneously, but over time it will take place. Why does it take time? Because it involves your character, your nature, your free will. You must accept. God cannot do with you what you are not willing to accept. God can't address issues in your life if you are not willing to face up to those issues and say, Lord, I have a problem. Right? So understanding is the key to realizing what you are doing in the ministry. What is it that you are ministering? What is the grace that God has given you to minister? And always understand that it is grace. Peter says it is grace. Minister the gift through the manifold grace of God given to you. Steward the gift in the manifold grace of God. It is grace. It is not by merit. So when you start getting puffed up and you think you are the most anointed person in the world and there's no one else like you, brother, you have a problem, and it's going to be a serious problem. Soon you may think you are also going to be God. Huh? So deal with it. Right? Deal with it. Deal with it so that the Lord is glorified. Deal with it so that you genuinely want to give glory to God. So watch it as you minister. Watch it how you say and why you say something. You know, when you speak to somebody, you know what's in your heart. If you don't know, then ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it and it will come out. And when you see the wrong intentions, address it. Address it with the Lord. Because he's very concerned that you become his vessel. Right? Praise the Lord. So the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom is the application of knowledge. You have understanding, you have insight into something. Ultimately, everything has to be put into practice. And always remember the word of knowledge, the discernment of spirits, and the word of wisdom have a spontaneous manifestation and an abiding manifestation. Don't think that everything in the gift is merely spontaneous. It is not. Right? That's what Isaiah prophesied, right? To whom would he give the message, which is the spontaneous form? To whom would he teach knowledge? Knowledge is the abiding form. Correct? So, if you operate in a gift, if you operate in a word of knowledge, you need to understand that there is a word of knowledge that is spontaneous, but there is a knowledge form that is abiding. Then as you grow in that gift, you will be able to know things about people as it comes forth. You will start knowing things in situations and circumstances. At the moment somebody tells you something, automatically by the Holy Spirit, your witness clicks into gear and the word of God starts speaking inside of you, and you realize what he is saying. You start evaluating it. You begin to understand what is happening. Hello. It may be spiritual in nature. Right? It may be an insight into something. Right? Right? It may be the understanding of how to apply it. Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Alright? Because it is light, it comes out of the revealed word. And that revealed word is what is the abiding. Are you with me? And as the abiding increases, your ability to operate in the spontaneous will also increase. It's like the abiding is the foundation, and that foundation can be built and built and built and built and built. And as you operate in the spontaneous, obviously it'll start operating at a higher and higher level as the abiding begins to be increased within you. That's why you need to build everything in the Word of God. You can't just build by experience. You remember basic teaching, right? Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Moses goes into Mount Sinai. God gives him two tablets of the testimony. Exodus 32, verse 16 says that those tablets of the testimony are the work of God, and the writing on those tablets are the writing of God, written by the finger of God. You come to 2 Corinthians 3:3. God is saying, you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. And that's your heart. That is part and parcel of operating in the gifts. So you cannot just look at giftings by the Holy Spirit in a vacuum. It is not in a vacuum. It is when people talk about it in a vacuum that they go off into error. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are very much a part of the Word of God. The more of the word you have, the more accurately you will flow in the giftings. The more accurately, the more sensitive you will be to errors that will come. Into your inward parts. So you need to understand this, right? Praise the Lord. So for example, the peace offering in the Levitical sacrifices tells you that when you function in the giftings, for instance, there must be an atmosphere of peace within you. You must be at rest. And so there was only one time in the entire calendar of the Jewish feast when the peace offering was compulsory, and it was compulsory on the feast of the Pentecost. Hello. Why? Because if you don't have that abiding peace, you cannot function by the Holy Spirit. That peace represents the triumph of Jesus' faith and love on the cross on your insides. It is not peace for the sake of having peace. It is a peace that passeth all understanding. Why passeth all understanding? Because God understands things and you on a far higher plane that you and I have a capacity to. So there are things that God will take you into that are far beyond your capacity to understand. It will always be so. There is a level that is a growing level of understanding that God wants to build in you, but He will always operate also on a plane beyond your understanding. And how will you tell the difference? You can only tell the difference in the peace that passeth all understanding. That peace stands in the witness of blood, water, and spirit within you. Yeah? So when you function in the gifts, you function in the gifts in that witness of blood, water, and spirit. The witness of the cross. So there is no difference between functioning in the cross and functioning by the Holy Spirit. It works in tandem. It is the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen of God's Word. Revelation 3:14. You listening? So what did God tell Abraham? He said, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. Walk before me and be blameless. If you can just choose to walk before me, I will make you blameless. Yeah? Because I am the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. I am more than able to handle anything that is not right with you. You just make sure you walk before me. So we don't walk by the law. We walk in the fulfillment of the law. Right? We walk in the nature and character of Jesus, because the nature and character of Jesus will never steal. If you practice the law, you will always be subject to your own nature and your character. If you choose to walk in the name of Jesus, as you walk by the Spirit, the nature and character of Jesus is worked into you, and it will never sin. So in the new covenant, we learn how to function, not by the law, but by the name of Jesus, because understanding that the character and nature of Jesus is what we need. So today, as we look at the revelatory gifts, always understand the revelatory gifts exist on an abiding plane and on a spontaneous reality, okay? So don't just think of it in terms of the spontaneous. As you begin to be more and more discerning spiritually, you will also be able to pick up things so much faster. There will always be like an inbuilt spiritual sensitivity within you. God builds you like that. And the moment somebody tells you, your insights start clicking into place and you start beginning to see, okay, that's the problem. Right? Somebody else will see it in a different way. So when we minister as a team, you will be able to get a clearer picture. Yeah. That's why we function as a body. And we have to learn to function as a body. We have to learn how to function as a team. Right? Because we're all gifted, and we're all meant to be gifted, and we're all meant to be gifted differently. We are a priesthood of believers. We are a body of Christ. All of us carry different gift mix, a different gift mix. We all anointed differently. Even if we have the same gift, we operate that same gift differently. We minister that same gift differently. And we really need to understand how to function as a team. Yeah. So the revelatory gifts flow out of tongues. They flow out of the interpretation of tongues. And the interpretation of tongues flows into word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Prophecy, right? You speak the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge prophetically into a person's life. Make sure you speak the right words, though. Always remember three things, right? It always must be three things, okay? The only one who can move into other things outside these three things is the person who is called to be the prophet of the Lord, right? Otherwise, you just stick to these three things, right? And these three things are just that. What it says here, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So when you move in the discernment of spirits, if you don't have anything to edify the person and exhort the person and to comfort the person, shut up. Don't scare the guy out of his own skin. Right? Like telling a guy, I see a serpent coiled around your neck. That should be very inspiring stuff to tell a guy who is trying to find his way around, isn't it? And that may be true. But that's for you to know. That's his problem, okay? And you need to discern how to minister that problem. It's not to tell him that he's got a problem like that. So we need to discern, okay? Sometimes it's necessary to say it, but you know. So that's why we really need to understand and pursue things by the Holy Spirit, okay? But basically, right, when you release prophecy, right, when you release prophecy, it must edify, it must exhort, and it must comfort, all right? Or it must bring healing into a person's life. So the revelatory gifts are very powerful. The abiding form of the revelatory gifts are very, very powerful. It really builds you up. It really builds you up and gives you an ability in God. And it's powerful, guys. Because everything in revelation knowledge is ultimately built into you in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus. And it's powerful stuff, guys. Remember, Jesus is the gift. Hello. We started this whole series on the gifts, right? By declaring that Jesus is the gift. Jesus, the gift, is manifested to us in different forms. And the different kind of giftings that we get are all different expressions of the gift that is Jesus Christ in our lives. So the abiding form is always built in conformance with Christ Jesus. Right, so Paul says in Galatians 4:19, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Right? Because through Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things. Right? Through Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things. Right? So that's what it's all about. Right? And it applies to every gift that you are called to operate. As you grow in conformance to Christ, your gifts will operate in a far higher plane. Praise the Lord. That's why God's provision to you, Yahweh Yireh, comes through sacrifice. Why through sacrifice? Why through the cross? Why can't just God give you a gift? Why must it come through the cross? Why declare that I am your provider, Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Yireh, in the context of a sacrifice? Why does God have to provide through the cross? Because it has to be developed inside of you and brought out of you in a witness that is in blood, water, and spirit. It must be of the witness of Jesus Christ. It must be in accordance with the finished work of the cross. It must stand in Him who is the door. That's why He said, I am the door. And He said, anyone who comes by any other door is a thief. That's why John says that those who carry the spirit of the Antichrist came out from amongst us. What did they do? They opened different doors. They opened different doors. And they became wolves in sheep's clothing, speaking the language, but the testament is different. The witness is different. The spirit behind it is a different spirit. So what does John say? Anyone who does not lift up on high the name of Jesus is walking in the spirit of the Antichrist. What does that mean? It simply means this. If you and I are not functioning with the desire to lift up the name of Jesus, ultimately it will mean that we will automatically flow into those things that walk, that function in the spirit of the Antichrist. There's either, you're either for Christ or you're against him. There's no middle ground. Yeah. You either give him preeminent position in your heart, or somebody else will come in and reign in you. As simple as that. So when God talks about Lucifer, he says, you fell the day something that was birthed in your heart that was not of me. What did he birth in his own heart? He birthed his own thought forms. He birthed a faith form that stood against God. He built a belief system that was contradictory to the testament of God. And it was entirely built on falsehood. So he actually believed that he could become God. Can you imagine that? He actually objectively thought he could become God. Are you with me? That's why God describes himself as I am who I am. I am that I am. There is no one else like me. It can never be. Therefore, necessarily, all of us have to bow before God. So if you're functioning in the revelatory gifts, you must always check the intentions of what you are ministering. Is it to glorify the Lord or is it to glorify yourself? Very important to be able to tell the difference. Because so many people have got hidden agendas. And the reason why they stumble over those hidden agendas is because they don't want to address it before God. Address it before God. Every one of us has got hidden agendas. There's not one of us sitting here that does not have a hidden agenda. Hello. We are all by nature crooks, by the way. Jesus said so. You are evil. You can't tell it more plainly than that. So knowing what we are, we must address ourselves before the Lord. Oh God, save me. Give me a new nature. Give me a new character. Give me the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't do so, I will continue to be a crook. Because that's my nature. What's so hard about admitting these kind of things, guys? Huh? What is this pretense that we must look like holy mollies? Holy mollies are always crooks. Be real. God is real. You are sinners. We are sinners. We are all sinners. We need salvation. What's so hard about addressing these things? God is more than able to handle it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What else do you want? At the right time, he died for the ungodly. In Tamil it says akramakarar, wicked people. So what? How else does God have to say it before we understand what's the truth? Huh? That's why John says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And the word of God is not in you. Right? You want to read that? 1 John. First John chapter 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Pretty frank stuff, isn't it? Right? The Apostle Paul puts it in a different way. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Verse 18, chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Who's the guy speaking? He's an apostle. The guy is going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And he's talking about himself, so that we all get the right picture. And then in verse 18 he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, right? Verse 19, for the good that I wish I do not do. He has a problem and he's willing to address that. And he puts it down in paper. Yeah? For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. He says, I practice the evil that I do not wish. All right, what's he saying? I have a problem, isn't it? Yeah. I have a problem with evil being resident within me. Who's the guy talking? He's an apostle. A chosen vessel of the Lord. A chosen light for the Gentile world. He's writing his most powerful treatise in the book of Romans. Right? And in that whole process, he addresses himself. All right? So we also must be willing to address ourselves. So many of us don't want to do it. If you don't go and seek God's help, who's going to deliver you? Who's going to set you free? Who's going to give you a new tomorrow? Don't come to me. I can't save you. Huh? You've got to address yourself before the Lord. Fundamental things have to be addressed in your life before God. If you have a problem with life, with lust, address it to God. Don't hide it. All right, the revelatory gifts. All right, so important for you to understand that the revelatory gifts flow out of the root of tongues, okay? And the root of David, okay? Please develop that root of David. Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, there is a whole universe of reality that you have for us. A reality that you mean to unveil in us through giftings, and ultimately you mean to build it into us, O God, in an abiding reality, Lord. So, Father, we seek that abiding because that is what is the reality, O God, that will stand and become part and parcel of our very being. We thank you that it is your intent to make us all creatures of your abundance, creatures of your excellence. Creatures, O God, able to function by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name accurately, perfectly, Lord. And there are so many different levels of perfection that you mean to take us into. The seed of Christ has been planted into each one of us, and the seed of Christ is perfect. And there is a measure of your perfection that has been worked into us. And it's a growing measure. And as it grows, O God, there will be, O God, in each one of us a reality of the tree of life blossoming. We thank you that the root of this tree is called the root of David. And we pray that that love for Jesus, that love, O God, that was given and expressed to us on the cross, we pray for its total and perfect reciprocation through our hearts towards the Lord himself. We pray that we will reciprocate his love in how we function in the giftings of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us to love Jesus even as we realize the deeper and greater and higher dimensions of the giftings that you have for us. As you build and nurture and manifest, O God, creatively, the gift mix that is going to operate in our lives, we pray that you will truly manifest this gift mix in true conformance to Christ Jesus. That we will operate this gift mix, O God, in the name of Jesus. That we will operate this gift mix to the glory of the Father. That we will operate this gift mix in an intimacy, O God, that knows you, Holy Spirit. We pray. Let everything within us, O God, be dealt with, O God. Be healed, be delivered, be transformed, be changed, O God. So that, Lord, we will truly be vessels that will function in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Enable us, O God, to be people who truly appreciate the great intentions of your heart. That, Lord, the ability to function in this gift mix that you mean to develop in us has got profound intents, O God, that flow from your heart, Father. That out of small beginnings, the ultimate intent and design of these gift mix, O God, is to unveil us in heavenly places so that nations will walk in our giftings, O God. So, Father, we pray that you bless us. Let your light shine and let your light drive out all darkness from within us, O God. Let Jesus reign as the preeminent Lord and Master of our hearts. Let him reign as our husband, O God. Let our hearts be hearts of flesh. Let our hearts be entirely written upon by the finger of God. Let our hearts be entirely of the substance of the Master's fullness. Let our hearts function, O God, in blood, water, and spirit, Lord, so that what functions in us will always be true and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for the gift mix by the Holy Spirit to truly be a proclamation, O God, of your goodness, O God, in our lives. Enable us to taste and see that the Lord our God, he is good. It's so important for us to be able to do so. O God, remind us, O God, when we fail to do so, Lord, so that we will not, in the excitement of seeing power manifest, O God, forget the giver of that power, whose lordship is absolutely necessary for that power to truly be true power, Lord. We ask this, we pray, all things in the name of Jesus. Amen.